and welcome to today's Columbus Area Labor Management Committee podcast. We continue our look today at the career of Eugene Brundage, a labor leader, manager, and neutral who served many years in the state of Ohio. My name is Jim Coles, and I'm the Executive Director of Columbus Area Labor Management Committee. Also joining me today is Meredith Porterfield, our Program Manager. Today we're going to look at what Gene referred to as part two of his career. After he left the Ohio Education Association, the state's largest teachers union, and began work for the state of Ohio. Let's listen as he talks about his days within the Ohio Department of Transportation.
Dick Celeste has been elected governor. I served in a number of positions and then was asked to go to ODOT, worked for Warren Smith, and organized the district labor relations function, 13 districts. Administered two voluntary recognition contracts. Now, working for a person who is now management for the first time and previously secretary treasurer of the AFL-CIO is a challenge in and of itself, but again, Warren Smith is one of the most ethical, knowledgeable persons I ever worked with. Warren had this thing about workplace safety, and he was a bear for it. And so one time he had a situation where if you were in a preventable accident and you got very limited damage to the vehicle, you still got a one-day suspension. Warren called me one day and he said, I got somebody you need to suspend. I said, why? Preventable accident. To who? He said, me. I've never yet or since suspended my boss. But I did. And he did.
In the previous segment, we learned Gene started working in a management position under Ohio Governor Celeste. In this next segment, Gene tells about his experiences when he was appointed by Governor Celeste to be the state's chief negotiator for contract negotiations with its largest union, OCSCA, or Ohio Civil Service Employees Association.
I was invited by Governor Celeste while there to serve as chief negotiator for the OCSCA unions. I learned lots of things at that time. I learned that I wish I had set it up to bargain rather than for me, but I didn't. So I walked into the table and I found out how not to bargain. Some of you here know what I'm going to say. Shirley Wilson knows. Shirley was our consultant at the time. How many of you were in the 1984 state bargaining? Richard, put your hand up. You see the hands around here, the folks that were here. And if you take a look, Eric, can you give us the next slide? That is a normal day of bargaining. 220 people on the union team. Management had over 100. And when I had a show of hands in the management team, how many have bargained before? I had three. We had such positions as the warden from Lucasville, who insisted that we were going to give bereavement leave, that it could not be given until there was a picture of the deceased in the casket. And she didn't succeed in his wishes, but those were the kinds of attitude. Following a successful bargaining, I had never finished a contract, but like we finished those, we got down to the end of bargaining, and it was one of those wonderful experiences that nobody knew how to get them closed because everybody had expectations on both sides that they couldn't achieve in 1,000 years. So I said, we got to have a deadline. And so, okay, what's the deadline? Speaker Rice, because then people trembled when he said Speaker Rice's name, is going to give us a deadline. So I called Speaker Rice's office and I said, would you please tell the Speaker if anybody asked, and he told me that if the contracts don't come to him by the time they take their May break, that they will not get ratified. We can't do that. Yes, you can. They did, I did, and the union settled before the time to ratify the contract on a deadline that we made up. But nonetheless, the union leadership knew we had to have something to get our people closed. So we finished with the last 7 articles not written, but agreed to in concept. They were ratified overwhelmingly. governor was willing to put a lot of money in it. That always solves a large number of pains when you do that. And so we had a very successful first round of bargaining.
With negotiations of the state's first collective bargaining agreement finished, Governor Celeste appointed Gene to serve as the director of the new Office of Collective Bargaining. This made him responsible for the even more difficult job of administering this agreement with OCSEA, as well as negotiating the contracts with the other state bargaining units. Listen as Gene talks about his days as director of OCB.
So I was selected after that to become the director of the Office of Collective Bargaining, and I worked with wonderful, underpaid, overworked people. We started contract administration with in excess of 3,500 grievances pending arbitration. Again, no way could we ever come up. I depended on Charlie Wilson in those days. Charlie had come out of a very prestigious law firm arbitration, and when I said to him, we have to deal with 3,500, he changed color.
That's your step story.
So we ended up and we invented step 4.5, 5 steps in the contract. And so we put a mediation step in there. And Jack Burgess can tell you, we beat on people to settle contracts, settle big grievances. And we had more grievances that were settled with, well, I will not meet my spouse again than you can ever imagine, you know. But we got through that. Mike Nuko has now taken the concept, perfected it, and written it into every state agreement.
We heard in the last segment, Gene was again appointed by Governor Celeste to be the director for the state's Office of Collective Bargaining. And this concludes another podcast. We hope you are enjoying these podcasts on the life and career of Gene Brundage. Please listen next time as our series continues with Gene being appointed to a job he has always wanted to do. Thank you for listening.